Areena.
This week, we hear about an APN listener's troubles with their electricity supplier.
It just seemed, it was a little bit like, yeah, this is the system of way of doing things, and we can't really think about maybe tweaking it to improve it slightly. And if we annihilate you in the process, this process, it doesn't really matter.
We catch up with a Finnish NGO hoping to help migrant workers in Qatar.
I think at this point, it's the most important thing as a football fan is just to be, you know, aware of what's going on and not close your eyes from all of these phenomenons that are taking place related to the games.
And we take a closer look at Finland's ambitious plans to recruit workers from abroad.
The numbers that some discussants have expressed in public, 50,000, many hundreds of thousands, they are very, very unrealistic.
Hello and welcome to All Points North. I'm Zina Iovino.
And I'm Ronan Brown. On this week's show, we'll be asking if people in Finland should boycott the World Cup in Qatar in light of reported abuse of the migrants who built the stadiums.
We'll also take a closer look at politicians' calls for migrant workers to help fill gaps in the labor market. We'll hear from one expert who said he believes that some officials have grossly overestimated people's willingness to actually move here.
But first up, energy prices and supplies, a topic which we have certainly heard a lot about recently. Throughout this autumn, we've been reporting how people in Finland are bracing for steep winter electricity bills. So, Zina, have you dropped your thermostat down a notch or two, like the government has been telling us?
Well, I haven't, but my building may have done it for me. Things are definitely chillier.
Mm-hmm. Same in my building. But while it is getting a little cooler indoors, it might get extremely hot in the shower if you're unlucky with your timing.
How's that, Ronan?
Well, this week we've reported that possible power outages during the coming winter months could scald people in the shower. Apparently, any cut in the electrical power supply affects central heating control devices, which could lead to a nasty change in water temperature. But scalding hot showers are not the only electricity-related news this week, are they?
No, definitely not. National grid operator Fingrid says that warming your car in the mornings might be an unnecessary luxury this year. Fingrid says this may be the case as electricity production comes under strain because of sanctions on Russia and ongoing issues with the Olkiluoto 3 nuclear reactor.
And we will, of course, keep you right up to date on all the latest power news in Finland on our website, yle.fi/news.
But Ronan, electricity has been a hot topic among the APN audience too, at least judging by the messages we've received via WhatsApp. What have people been telling us?
Yeah, we have been receiving quite a wide variety of messages on this topic, so please do keep them coming. But one message this week really stood out for me. John Owen reached out to us to share the rather nasty surprise he received when he returned home from working abroad. I'll let John explain what happened.
This year I'm working at an international school in Qatar, and I flew back for the winter FIFA school break on last Friday. And got home to my home out in Espoo about 8 p.m. and lights were off and the house was stone cold and a funny smell, which turns out to be the freezer contents. So after scrabbling around for matches and stuff and lanterns, finding some light, doing some investigation in the house, seeing if it's a fuse box, calling the company in charge of the site here, got to the bottom of it. It was likely the electricity had been cut off. So, you know, I'd had a long day's traveling since I've been up since 4 in Qatar. So I decided to stay in my house on the Friday night, sleep in the cold.
So not only was John left in the cold on Friday night, his house was without electricity all weekend, as his supplier does not provide service over the weekends. It anyway took him nearly 3 days to discover why he had been cut off, who cut him off, and how he could get his power back.
So what happened exactly?
Well, John told me he missed a payment back in June. It was just an oversight on his part, and he even paid his electricity bills every month after that, in July, in August, September, etc. However, the June bill remained unpaid, unbeknownst to John, that is, and eventually his electricity supplier passed the unpaid bill onto a debt collection agency.
So they sent him an invoice?
They did, but by this time John had travelled abroad for work. He received 3 payment demand letters in total while he was away, but he says he received no warning that he would be disconnected, either by post or by email or even on the app he uses to pay his bills.
That doesn't sound right.
No, it really doesn't. And so I had a look at the guidelines on this issued by the Finnish Competition and Consumer Authority, and they are very clear that in the event a bill is unpaid, the company must warn the customer of an impending disconnection.
But that didn't happen in John's case.
No, it seems that it did not, and he has been left extremely frustrated by the entire experience.
These whole systems are so automated, the invoicing. Well, I'm saying, well, yeah, okay, we've got technology. Then surely, one, if you miss a €35 one monthly direct debit, auto debit, couldn't that be bumped onto the next one automatically? Or on the app, something flags up, you know, red stuff saying, hey, you know, you've got to pay this. Or I don't know, it can't be that difficult with the technology to type something in. And then, you know, and I've said to Fortum, this has caused a load of hassle of loads of people. I'm now going to change to a different electricity company. And, how has this helped? I don't understand it, you know. And, you know, and it's a bit annoying. Not annoying, it's a bit mystifying to me that Fortum and Lowell didn't seem to, people I spoke to didn't understand the legal aspect of cutting off somebody's electricity and the process around that. And I thought it just seems a bit crazy, you know.
Another point John made that I thought was very interesting was he said that throughout his experience of dealing with both the electricity supplier and the debt collection agency, he really felt like the human aspect was missing. He was in this situation with his home freezing, sub-zero temperatures outside, and he was being passed from one person to another without any real resolution in sight. So I asked John how he would sum up the experience.
I was a bit struck by how some people I speak to didn't think if somebody's clearly paying all their invoices every month, you know, because electricity situation going on, I just want to pay it monthly so I don't have a big unknown bill every quarter or whatever. So, and then it just seemed, it was a little bit like, yeah, this is the system of way of doing things and we can't really think about maybe tweaking it to improve it slightly. And if we annihilate you in the process, this process, it doesn't really matter.
And that was me speaking with our listener, John Owen.
I think the really interesting thing here is that we have been hearing so much over recent months about the threat of blackouts and how to deal with them, yet it seems someone's power can be cut off just like that.
Yeah, indeed. And so I reached out to Fortum to tell them what John had told us and to hear their side of the story.
And what did they say?
Well, they said a few things. Firstly, they said they can't really comment on individual customer cases, which is a phrase we hear a lot here on APN. But Tommy Hanninen, head of Fortum's business unit, told me, and I'm quoting him here, "We understand that the current situation might affect customers' ability to pay their bills. We try to be as flexible as possible when it comes to the payment times and are always willing to negotiate payment plans with our customers."
Okay, so I guess the advice there is to notify your energy supplier if you think you'll have trouble paying their bill.
Yes, indeed. And I also asked about the points John raised in regard to how he was not properly notified about being disconnected. Fortum said customers in general do receive a warning by post if there's a possibility that their supply might be cut off due to an unpaid bill. They added that they are also in contact with the customer multiple times over several weeks, by text message, by letter, by phone, but they confirmed that this warning comes from the debt collection agency, not from them directly.
Well, it seems that this warning didn't happen in John's case, but as they said they cannot comment on individual cases, we may have to leave this one here.
No, exactly. But before we leave this section, I'd like to say that we really want to hear more from our audience about this issue. How are you managing with rising energy bills? Is there enough support to plan payments? Please message us via WhatsApp on +358 44 421 0909 or send an email to allpointsnorth@yle.fi.
You can join the conversation too. Let us know what you think on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
You can also leave a voice note or text on WhatsApp. Our number is +358 44 421 0909.
So the Football World Cup finals have, of course, kicked off this past week in Qatar. But even for a lifelong football fan like me, this one has felt a little bit different.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are feeling the same way. Can you explain a little more about what is behind people's coolness toward the sports showcase events?
Well, firstly, there was how world football's governing body, FIFA, awarded the finals to Qatar in the first place, with allegations about money being exchanged in order to bolster Qatar's bid to host the competition.
And of course, there's a sense that this is not really a World Cup finals welcome to all, given that homosexuality is outlawed in Qatar and the country has a dire track record when it comes to minority rights.
Absolutely. And then the third main point of controversy has been the treatment of migrant workers. When Qatar was awarded the Games in 2012, it had almost no football stadiums capable of hosting even one World Cup game, let alone an entire tournament. They've since, however, built 8 new stadiums, but the cost has been very high, and I don't mean in monetary terms.
You mean in terms of lives lost?
I do. Although the Qatari government disputes the figures, many media outlets have reported that as many as 6,500 migrant workers have died in Qatar over the past 10 years.
These figures prompted a Finnish NGO, that's the Trade Union Solidarity Centre of Finland, or SASK for short, to get involved. SASK aims to promote the ideas of living wages and safe working conditions through development projects worldwide. And the organization's been involved in Qatar since 2015.
And some of our listeners may have spotted their advertising campaign on public transport in some Finnish cities in the run-up to the World Cup. It was called Pelinhinta, or the price of the game.
What are they hoping to achieve with this campaign?
Well, very good question, Zina. So I spoke with Eleonora Vesela this week to hear more about the organization and the campaign, and I first asked her that very question.
Our objective the whole time has been to build awareness and understanding in Finland specifically on the challenges that migrant workers face. Specifically in the Gulf region and in Qatar, now that the World Cup is sort of there and the world is looking in that direction. But our work with migrant workers is not limited to Qatar only, or even only to the Gulf. We've been running a project since 2015 based in Nepal and India, because majority of the migrant workers at the moment are leaving from these countries to the Gulf region. But because in the Gulf, the right to organize is either forbidden or heavily restricted, so we cannot operate directly in these countries since we work with local unions. And that's why we've decided to work with the sending countries, trying to support the migrant workers before they leave so that they would know about their rights and their support systems in these countries, and in general, what can be expected when they get to the destination countries, but also in supporting them when they return back to their home countries. They often suffer from different kinds of mental or physical injuries after their post abroad, so they need quite a lot of support in getting back into society in their home countries and then getting back to earning an income for their families after their return.
The controversy over the treatment of migrant workers, as well as the other issues surrounding the hosting of the finals in Qatar, has led some football fans to say they'll be giving this tournament a miss. And the hashtag Boycott Qatar 2022 has been trending several times on Twitter.
Yes, and so I asked Eleonora Vasila of SASK if she thinks boycotting the finals can have any impact. Let's have a listen to her answer.
I think boycotts in general definitely have their place and they can have a huge impact. In this case, at this point, for the migrant workers in Qatar, it is insignificant whether people boycott or not. Actually, it can be a risk for them because it can result in early termination of some of the contracts, especially now in the hospitality sector, which would mean that the workers are going to be sent home and they are left without the income that that they have come to Qatar to earn. So it's good to take into consideration the different kind of angles to or perspectives to what kind of effect the boycotts can have.
What can an ordinary citizen living here in Finland, for example, what can we do that might make a difference?
I think at this point, it's the most important thing as a football fan is just to be, you know, aware of what's going on and not close your eyes from all of these phenomenons that are taking place related to the games. And, you know, if you have the opportunity to bring this up in a discussion, then, use that opportunity. And if you are having a place of a position of influence, in a, let's say, in a sports organization or other, then just take that, you know, that opportunity to make a difference in decision making if you are in that place.
I think it would be worth noting at this point that football fans, or indeed just people in general, should be more aware of where football money comes from. For example, the French club Paris Saint-Germain is owned by Qatar Sports Investment, which is believed to itself be owned by Qatar's finance ministry, but this does not receive nearly as much attention.
You mean there's a much wider issue here?
I do, in the sense that it should be welcomed that these issues are being discussed in the context of the Qatar World Cup, but the conversation shouldn't start and end there.
But getting back to Elinora's comments, it's fair to say that labour migration and the treatment of foreign workers here in Finland is a topic we cover quite a lot here in All Points North.
Yes, indeed it is. And I asked her about that too, if Finland has something to learn about the treatment of foreign workers.
Well, absolutely, yes. These are not, you know, we don't live in a bubble that would be excluded from these challenges. The similar circumstances can be seen in the Finnish working life as well. We've had the berry pickers case, and the Nepali restaurant staff has been in the news, as well as the construction of the Olympic Stadium that was a big news some time ago. So. But this is what global, labor is like. It's the same things that if we don't address these issues abroad, they will eventually end up affecting us in Finland as well. And it's better that we tackle these issues before they sort of enter our society here and sort of spread this kind of better, well, respect for workers' rights and human rights in general. It's also our benefit in Finland.
And that was Elinora Vesela of the Trade Union Solidarity Centre of Finland, or SASC.
As always, we want to hear from you on this issue. Are you boycotting these finals? How else do you think you can make a difference? Let us know via WhatsApp on +358 44 421 0909. Immigration and mobility are popular topics here on APN, aren't they, Ronan?
They certainly are. For example, just last week, our colleagues Egan and Veronica looked at how Finland could do a better job of retaining its foreign graduates.
We received a lot of comments in response to that show, including this one on Facebook from Lee Hamela, which said, 7,000 foreign students this year, but who will stay? Finland desperately needs more workers.
Right, yeah, that comment really does pretty neatly sum up the entire conversation. Last week we learned that Finland currently has a record number of international students from outside the EU.
Well, Prime Minister Sanna Marin's government has been vocal about increasing labour-based migration, and we've heard as much from many top politicians, including right here on this show.
But population projections paint a bleak picture of Finland's dependency ratio. That's how the proportion of pensioners in relation to the working age population will develop.
Finland has committed to doubling labour immigration by 2030, increasing immigration to 50,000 individuals by the end of this decade.
But Zina, you heard from a Finnish immigration expert this week, didn't you, who said these numbers mostly reflect wishful thinking.
And optimism, yes. I spoke to Pasi Saukkonen. He's a senior researcher at the City of Helsinki, focusing on integration and immigration. One of the first things he told me was that Finland should realize that it's in competition with many other countries for the same international labor pool. Let's listen.
We should not go and hide between the very idealistic idea of huge numbers of labor migrants coming suddenly to Finland in a relatively short period of time. The image of Finland abroad is not that bad. The problem is that the people that Finland would need most, that is people who with relatively little re-education relatively fast would enter the Finnish labor market. Those are people that make choices, that they can choose Finland, but they choose Finland from a basket, where in the same basket there are also countries like Norway and Denmark and Netherlands and Germany and Ireland and the UK. And quite rationally, lots of these people rather choose one of these other countries than Finland. Some of them will choose Finland, of course. That's no doubt of that, but not those numbers that are being said publicly in the debate.
But that said, some employers are taking matters into their own hands and actively recruiting workers from abroad, particularly nurses. I read that Gyno is training 120 nurses from Zambia to work in the region.
I asked Pasi Saukkonen what he made of some government ministers' comments suggesting that Finland needs labour migration to be able to secure services for the elderly.
It is a very sad statement, because if that would be the only way to solve the problems that we are going to get from the aging of the population, then the future doesn't look very bright indeed. That the numbers that some discussants have expressed in public, 50,000, many hundreds of thousands, they are very, very unrealistic.
It sounds to me like Saukkonen is saying that Finland should look inward instead of pinning its hopes on an external solution. Would that be right?
Right. Well, Finland's jobless rate was just under 6% last month. So we also talked about the mismatch between jobs and skills, or structural unemployment, as economists call it. Saukkonen brought up the risk second-generation immigrants face of falling through the cracks.
On the one hand, we have labor shortage. On the other hand, we have unemployed, lots of unemployed people. And for some reason, it seems to be very difficult to make the ends meet. We should not lose any of the young talent that is growing up and searching for their place in education institutes, and then later on in the labor market. That's definitely something that Finland as a society should focus on very, very strongly and invest in enough. And then that's something that brings us back to the issues related with international migration, because especially in the Helsinki region, we have large amounts of people born to immigrants to Finland growing up. And we know from international experience that lots of them will struggle to get education and to enter the labor market. I cannot see that Finland would be immune to that kind of a development that has taken place in other countries.
And that was Pasi Saukkonen of the city of Helsinki.
Before we move on from this segment, we should mention that this week we've reported that there were 66,000 more employed people in Finland last month compared to October of last year.
Would you like a weekly summary of the top stories from Finland sent straight to your inbox? Just sign up for our weekly newsletter. Go to yle.fi/news and look for the newsletter tab at the top of the page. That's yle.fi/news.
And now it's time for a roundup of this week's news. Police said the postal worker killed in Vantaa last week was a young woman delivering newspapers. A court has remanded a 23-year-old man into custody on suspicion of murder.
Girls in Finland are facing increasing amounts of sexual violence. That's according to a Tampere University study. It found that around 8% of girls in the ninth grade reported experiencing sexual violence.
Meanwhile, Finnish lawmakers had a short but heated debate on the controversial Sami Parliament Act, which has caused major friction within Finland's coalition government. The dispute largely centres on the issue of who has the right to be included on the voters' roll for elections to the Assembly, which represents Finland's indigenous Sami people.
Earlier this week, a Finnair cabin crew walk-off caused the cancellation of some 100 flights departing from Helsinki Airport. Staff said the move was in response to the national airline's plans to subcontract in-flight service personnel on some routes.
Public health authority THL said it no longer recommends that children under 12 in good health get vaccinated against coronavirus. Finland's health agency still recommends 3 doses of COVID vaccine for those aged 12 to 17.
And in more virus-related news, experts say Christmas visits outweigh COVID risks for seniors. Even with coronavirus infection rates running high, welfare professionals say that safe socializing with elderly friends and family is especially important during the upcoming holiday season. Regular listeners will know that our podcast stopped downloading automatically to Apple, Google, and other third-party platforms. We've had some feedback about that.
Yes, we have. And from January, we will be available primarily via the Yle Areena app or website, with the Spotify feed also getting switched off. There is a way to get the podcast on other platforms, but you'll need to go to our website and check out the instructions.
This was naturally not a decision made by the APN team. It was a part of wider changes here at Yle. So we asked the people in charge to come for an interview on the show and answer your questions.
So please do send in your questions and comments and anything else you'd like to tell us about Yle Areena, Apple Podcasts, and how you might be able to listen in the future. Our WhatsApp number, as you probably know by now, is +358 44 421 0909.
But as we just mentioned, there is still a way for you to get this podcast automatically using the show's RSS feed. And we have some instructions on our website for how to do that. Just search for an article called How to Listen to Yle News' All Points North podcast.
And like we also said earlier, all of our podcasts are available at yle.fi/allpointsnorth. We'll also continue to embed the show in an article on our website every week.
Speaking of which, our news website, yle.fi/news, has a new look, which just launched this week.
Yes, indeed. There are a few more changes in the pipeline, actually, and we hope it helps to keep our readers right up to date with all the latest news from Finland in English. Well, it's the end of another show and another week, or almost. Any special plans for the upcoming weekend, Zina?
Here in Helsinki, there are a number of free Christmas fairs and workshops happening this weekend, so I think I'll be checking out some of those. If you want to have a look, you can check them out on the city's My Helsinki website.
Okay, sounds very festive. But apart from checking out our previous episodes of All Points North, what else can you recommend on Yle Areena for this weekend?
How about Winter's Bone, starring Jennifer Lawrence? It's a dark story about drug subculture in a rural setting. It's received 4 Oscar nominations, so it may be worth a watch.
Okay, sounds good. But before we go, we'd like to thank you, our audience, for once again listening to and supporting All Points North. I'd also like to give a big thanks to our audio engineer, Jonathan Kottila. And don't forget, you can keep up to date with all the latest news from Finland in English at yle.fi/news. Have a great week. Bye.
Bye.